for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Warren McCartney is sponsored by Commonwealth Bank, Wendy's, Neptune Compostables, J.S. Johnson, Burger King, Airborne Freight and Cargo Services, Bahamas Bus and Truck Company Limited, Bronze Electric Motors, LA Impact Windows and Doors, and Fidelity Bank.
To the revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We are today going to get into our discussion about these airports and what's going on. I know you're thinking in your head, oh, airports is not sexy. Let's not talk about airports. But this is important stuff for you to know that involves vast sums of money and can drive our nation forward very rapidly or can sink us quite rapidly, or weigh us down at the very least. We are going to get into that, but first let's recap some of the stuff yesterday. So the budget debate, the mid-year budget debate, has now concluded. It was an arduous process filled with a lot of nothing. I don't know that I got very much from it, except frustration, hypocrisy from both sides of the aisle, and a further dumbing down of the conversation. Now, I got some good stuff from D'Aguilar, and I was expecting to get some better stuff from the vast majority of cabinet ministers. I liked Jeff's presentation. Jeff's my boy, but I still liked his presentation, even if he wasn't my boy. I liked Michael Pintard's presentation. Am I leaving anybody out who I thought did well or gave me some solid information? I think Pakisha Parker Edgecombe didn't give me any good stuff on the disaster recovery effort, but she gave some information, particularly on ZNest, that I found useful that I'm going to explore further. And I didn't get anything from the Prime Minister, except his usual politicking and backpatting. Renward Wells, I learned some of the many names for God, and who else was good? Not that Wells was that good. You always feel, you know, you remind yourself that God is real, right? And Minnis needs consistent lotioning when Renwood Wells speaks. But I didn't get a lot of good information about the vaccine rollout, anything like this. So, you know. And then there were lots of presentations that just kind of fell flat. Who else was pretty good? Engleston was pretty good. And Chester Cooper was good. And I'm not going to lie, Brave, you kind of was rocking me to sleep there with your presentation, although I found your chart interesting. But and it got a little too political for me. But like I say, they're politicians, so I expect some politics. The rest of it kind of just didn't really resonate. Who was? No. Let me stop. Let me hold up. McAlpine, I liked in that he just came to kick butt and chew bubble gum, and apparently he was all out of bubble gum. So I was just, the ferocity of his presentation. They're just straight up tearing everybody apart. It was just entertaining. I don't know what else to say to you. And Chipman, I found, was good. Chipman, I like, because Chipman approaches his stuff from an analytical point of view. All right? And that, I respect that about him. Every time he speaks, even if he labels his, he likes to theme his presentations. So you'll get the stick and the carrot, or you get something else. And it seems a bit affected, but I still enjoy his presentations because he really drills down into whatever he's reading. Whatever he's debating about, he's prepared to debate. And he's one of the few outside of cabinet. There's Chester Cooper does it very well. Reese Chipman does it very well. And there are even times that McElpine digs into some stuff that you wouldn't expect him to be at the forefront of, but he still does it well. So those are the people who were pretty good. Everyone else kind of... I got some good information out of Marvin Dames. Who else? No one else comes to mind. Now, here's the stuff. I'm going to reserve my comment on two. So we got Desmond Bannister, which I don't take Desmond Bannister very seriously after all that has happened with BPL. But I found that he did give some information. Adrian Gibson gave some good information, but I found that... and I like Adrian Gibson. And when you hear me say I like somebody, it's because I genuinely, we're cool. All right. Or we've been cool in the past. If that's changed, they can let me know. I'm not just saying I like everybody just to make you believe like, oh, it's a common sandwich. I like you, but you suck. It's not like that. Some of them I don't like. Right. And they know who they are and they don't like me. And it's all good. We ain't got to like each other. I ain't expect everybody to be my friend. I don't live in La La Land. But I'll still be fair to you, all right? No matter where we're at, I'll be fair. Now, Adrian Gibson gave good information. However, there's a text about Peter Turquest. I talked with Turquest. I can get to Turquest. I'm saving him for my very last because he's the one who closed the budget. We're going to get there. Adrian Gibson gave some good information. However, to me, in 2021, when we're jumping up and down and clapping because we're putting potable water on family islands, when most of the family islanders have learned to adjust and live without that infrastructure, even though they need it, I think it's a bit much to be so self-congratulatory about. And again, these are initiatives that have been laid out over consecutive administrations. So it's not like Minnis got up and go, every family island's going to get potable water. And it's going to happen right now. It's not like that. These are initiatives that have been planned out with international agencies that have been sourced and contracted. The last administration would have laid a lot of the groundwork. Didn't get it done fast enough, but laid a lot of the groundwork. And so it's just a continuation of what was already in the pipeline. So to me, it's a bit much to just seek to get applause for putting water in family islands. That's me. Or helping do the electricity on the family island. That's what you're supposed to do, right? But Desmond Bannister went on and on and on about Ragged Island, right? And if I was him, I'd be ashamed to talk about Ragged Island, all right? I'd be ashamed. It's almost 4 years, man, since Ragged Island happened. You're clout chasing over the solar array that don't yet work. Supposed to have been working from last December, but don't yet work. And you guys are patting yourself on the back about it. After almost 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, you promised a green city on Ragged Island. Then you come and tell me, and I don't believe you, that the school on Ragged Island is the most complicated construction project ever undertaken by the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. I don't believe that for a moment. I lived through the New Providence Road Improvement Project, as did you. There's no way a $10 million school on Ragged Island, and why does a school on Ragged Island cost $10 million? I must know. For 20 students, not that they don't need a school, but why does their school cost $10 million, almost $11 million, according to Peter Turquest? And Bannister, if you'd note, never said what the school costs. Not that I heard. Right? There's no way that the school on Ragged Island is the most complicated construction project in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. No bloody way. And we're going to get to this, too. So I found that to be weird, and then he launched into BPL, and I don't give Bannister any credibility on BPL. None. Right? I don't give the PLP any either. All right? But what I found really off-putting, two things. The first, he's talking about Power Secure and the foreigners and all this stuff like that. Hey, Power Secure sucked. I'm right there with you. They made inordinate amounts of money and they should not have. I'm right there with you. However, you must realize that it is the height of hypocrisy to talk about Bahamians can't apply for top management posts at BPL when your administration has hired foreigners to come prosecute Bahamians. And you won't even tell us how much money they made. The hypocrisy is, it'll choke you. That's the first thing about BPL. The next thing is, so Desmond Bassett comes to the House, and I don't know that any of this is materially accurate, and I understand that it's not, and tries to litigate his defamation suit under the protection of parliamentary privilege, which I found nauseating, because firstly, you're being sued for what you did outside of cabinet that nobody asked you to do. You asked the board members to resign. Some submitted their resignation. You asked the rest to resign so you could constitute a new board. That was your choice. Fine. You're the minister. You have the purview to do that. But then you go, and I don't like talking about this because it's before the courts, and Darnell Osborne is my cousin. But cousin or no, I got some cousins I don't mess with. You go and you come outside of cabinet and smear this woman. Talking about makeup and security cameras. As I said, I've known her all my life. She already had security cameras. She don't need you to pay for her makeup. She don't need, you did that in your misogyny to try to paint her as some diva in order to justify what you did instead of just outlining the facts. You went to the Tribune and said that their board caused blackouts along New Providence, yet you weren't transparent until I had to corner Donovan Moxie and Whitney Hasty in the dance at the BPL press conference. You weren't transparent about what you did in terms of using the money that the board that you didn't want financed in order to purchase the Wärtsilä generators. And you here are touting out, well, Whitney Hasty's from Acklands. Yeah, great. Congratulations, he's from Acklands. You don't talk about how you let Christina Alstom leave in the dead of night, quit, resign, fly back to Atlanta, a Bahamian that the previous board recruited. You mentioned none of that. So you mentioned none of your screw-ups, none of your shenanigans, but yet you want to litigate the defamation case in Parliament. And what I found offensive was when he said that costs in certain instances were awarded to him. And you should produce some facts to back that up, because I don't know that to be true. He said, they owe me money. They owe me money. They owe me, Desmond Bannister, money. Really? Because last I checked, you aren't paying for your private lawyer to fight your defamation suit. The taxpayers are paying for it. So no one owes you any money. If anyone's owed money, it's us. We are owed money, not you. This ain't about you and your money, because you aren't paying for it, unless you want to produce some receipts, because I fully understand that the private attorney is being paid for by the Treasury. So I found it hypocritical and a bit nauseating, all right? That's me. And I don't understand why a school on Ragged Island costs almost $11 million. Not that Ragged Islanders don't deserve a very nice school, but I don't understand why it costs that much money. Oh, you got to boat people in. Yeah, seriously? That's what it is? You got to barge people in and barge. What are you talking about? You couldn't. That's the best you could do? Like, what is this school going to do? I'm so interested, right? Because you could have prefabbed that bad boy and had them there for 3-4 weeks, even though it's up on a hill and the view's really nice. And that could have been done. I mean, let's say 12 weeks tops. I'd love to know. You know, so please, you're grandstanding, you're talking about your BPL case, while the prime minister who promised an investigation into this entire matter said a private firm has been engaged, has not produced any results of any investigation, and he's sitting right next to you while you try to litigate your defamation case that we are paying for your defense for. It's mind-boggling. And I'd like to know the status of that BPL investigation that the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas said was happening. And now he's mum on it and allows Desmond Bannister, who anytime anyone has ever mentioned his defamation case in Parliament, he gets up and said it's sub judice and we can't talk about it. So it's sub judice when they want to talk about it, but it's not sub judice to you or House and Moutry, who backed you every time you complained, when you want to talk about it. You know? So please, save it. All right. Last night, Peter Turnquist closed out the budget debate. I'm confused, right? So, firstly, shouldn't the Minister of Finance or the Minister of State for Finance, if he's in Parliament, close out the budget debate? The budget debate? The budget, the mid-year budget that was put together, issued by the Ministry of Finance, shouldn't someone at least from Cabinet, since you're presenting this as a document out of Cabinet, shouldn't someone from Cabinet close out the debate? I don't get it. You're not the Minister of Finance. I like you. Again, I don't just say I like people because I'm clout chasing. I like Peter Turnquist. I like you, but you're not in Cabinet. You're not the Minister of Finance. I don't get it. Then Peter Turnquist went on to speak for 4.5 hours. I'm not making that up. No cap, like the kids say. 4.5 hours. All right? It was excessive. I like you. I don't like 4.5 hours. All right? There's a limit to what you could take. I remember Ingram one time talked for, had to be 8 hours on the closeout of the budget. Like in sections, had to be. And I think after he did that, they changed the rules. They changed the House of Assembly rules to limit the time you could talk. But I think closing out the budget is still unlimited. I believe so. Closing out the budget is still unlimited. But I believe he was in opposition at the time. I believe so. I could be wrong about that. I may be wrong about that. I think he was prime minister. Yeah, that's because I don't remember Ingram being in the House in opposition for any length of time after he became prime minister. So he's talked for 4.5 hours. I'm not lying about that. I don't understand why he was closing out the budget. Not that he's not competent to close out the budget. Not that he's not competent to do so. But you're a backbencher. You are not in cabinet. That's no disrespect. It's just the reality of the situation. The first thing that Peter Turnquist does, and he, let me see, I'll tell you at what point he started speaking about the mid-year budget in his 4.5 hour presentation, because I took notes. Hold on for me. I'm going to tell you right now. All right? So he started talking about the mid-year budget, I believe. These are my notes. Yeah, these are my notes, too. The 10-year-old got killed. That's terrible, but I don't know enough about it to get too deeply into it. I'm not sure what happened there. He said, okay, he got into the mid-year budget at about the 3-hour-and-40-minute mark. Okay? That's when he started talking about the mid-year budget in a 4.5-hour presentation. What else did Peter Turnquist talk about? Well, we got a very lengthy litigation of what happened when they came to office. We got a very thorough explanation of complaints that the PLP throws at him. We got a very, I think, well-considered, but I believe he defeated his own argument in some places, reason why he doesn't believe that the VAT rate should be decreased. But before all that, we got, for a solid hour, just a hardcore, ruthless takedown of Phillip Brave Davis, the likes of which I've hardly ever seen, right? So, and I like you, Peter Turnquest, but I think that you were out of order with your line of attack. Now, if we gets up there, and I knew it was going to be good. Now, it ain't 4.5 hours worth of good, but I knew it was going to be pretty good because he was like, I thank you for letting me close out the budget. He's like, I'm not sure you know what you signed up for, right, by letting me do this, but let's do this. So he came ready to rumble, right, straight up. Man, in a matter of minutes, and he was trying to be, you know, not directly say it, but everyone knew what he's talking about if any member of this house were to abandon the doctors here in New Providence and go seek treatment in the States, they should be labeled as a coward to the point where House and Mutri expunged it from the record of the House. But I'm going to say it because he said it and I heard it, House and Mutri. And it's cowardly, you know, a play on brave, you know, and they're not fit to lead the Bahamian people. And after he encouraged his supporters, or they encouraged their supporters to gather in violation of the emergency orders and everything. And so Brave Davis just gets up and he's like, what are you doing? You know, what is it that you're doing? And before he launched into all that, he said that he remembers when he first came to Parliament and Jerome Fitzgerald said to him, there's no crying in politics on the floor of the House. And there's no crying in politics. What you crying for? What are you over there crying for? Ain't no crying in politics. And Peter Turnquest, I agree. It ain't no crying in politics. But I think there should be some level of decency and a line that you don't really want to cross. So you don't want to involve people's spouses unless they're deeply involved in politics at some level too. And you don't want to involve people's children and family members, even though they're in close proximity to quote-unquote politically exposed persons. And I think you also don't want to invoke people's medical issues unless they are medical issues that call into question their ability to do the job that they currently have or they seek to have. So, for instance, if Brave Davis were leader of the opposition and incapacitated and unable to come to the House, then you can say we do question his capacity to do this job, to be leader of the opposition. Also, if he's in this state, to be prime minister. And that's fine. But I don't believe it is decent to question choices about a person's medical care, which is a private matter, even if we are talking about it because of who they are in society, and weaponize them for political purposes. So apparently, and I didn't hear this because I didn't get to hear all of Brave Davis' speech, Brave Davis said something about Peter Turnquest on Wednesday in the House of Assembly that led Peter Turnquest to launch this attack on Brave Davis. And I agree, there's no crying in politics, but there is a lot you can attack Brave Davis on without having to talk about his choice to be flown out of the Bahamas to receive medical care by his daughter and the team she works with in Atlanta last year when he was very sick from COVID-19. We don't know what informed that choice. Brave Davis said it was a family decision, which these medical decisions are, but Dr. Dwayne Sands was one of the people treating Brave Davis. You know, when you get in problems, if you could reach out and touch Dwayne Sands, go grab Dwayne Sands, right? He's excellent, all right, just as a physician. And he's also excellent as a surgeon. Dwayne Sands helped treat Papa, all right? He helped, I believe he was helping with Michael Darvall's treatment and with Brave Davis's treatment. We don't know if he was informed by Dr. Dwayne Sands, the former Minister of Health, that maybe you should seek treatment. Dwayne Sands would likely not talk about it without Brave Davis's permission because it's a patient-doctor relationship, privacy. But you don't know what informed that. And I really think, Peter Turner-Quest, that even though you're angry, you should reflect on your line of attack with Brave Davis to question his choice to get treatment elsewhere. This is the Bahamas. We have limitations on our ability to treat people. Have we treated hundreds of people successfully for COVID-19? Yes. However, nearly 200 people have died from COVID-19. Okay? This is the Bahamas. We understand we have limitations. There is no one out there under the sound of my voice, no one, who does not know someone or is related to someone or work with someone who has sought treatment outside this country. No one. These are personal choices that you have to make, and I don't think they have a place in politics. I think it's very petty to dredge that up. I don't know what he said about you. I didn't hear it. But I know you, and I think you can do better than that. That's just me to you. All right? We don't know why that decision was made, to use it to say he doesn't have confidence and faith in Bahamian doctors is a wild connection to make. All right? I thought that was a bit much, although I didn't hear what he said about you. Maybe he talked about your mom. I don't know. Or, you know, I don't know. But I think you can rise above certain things. All right? So let's talk about some other stuff Turnquest talked about. I'm not going to talk about this all day, but it was interesting. I watched it for 4.5 hours, man. So, you know, you get to hear about it. He then explained why he doesn't believe lowering the VAT rate is a good idea. He questions which programs they'll have to cut if they lower the VAT rate. I don't agree with that logic. I don't agree with that line of reasoning. To me, it's not so much which programs you have to cut to lower the VAT rate. To me, it is how do you cut the VAT rate and make that revenue neutral? Which mechanisms are you using to cut the VAT rate in order to stimulate the economy as you believe it would? He asked which exemptions they're going to cut for that items that are VAT exempt. And I don't agree with that line of thought either. To me, and listen, I'm not saying this because the PLP said it, I've never agreed with raising the VAT rate, ever. And so lowering it is just makes sense to me, how I look at it. All right, you have to do it carefully and methodically and strategically, but it can be done. It's not some crazy idea. I've always agreed with raising the minimum wage. Raising the minimum wage has shown to expand the economy every time it has been done. You have to do it methodically, carefully, strategically, but it can and should be done, raising the minimum wage. If you leave that where it is, I'm not going to be crazy about it. I'll make do. If you lower it, I think that's a good idea if you do it properly. But I definitely agree with raising the minimum wage. All right? He says, and he makes reasons, he gives reasons for the VAT exemptions that they had in place. And so he said, when they put the exemptions on the breadbasket items, the grocers... Listen carefully to me. I don't know who that is on the phone. They got to wait. He said when they put the exemptions on the bread basket items, the grocers, I'll take the call in 1 second, and then we go to a break. Y'all keep making me repeat myself. He said when they put the exemptions on the bread basket items, the grocers reported that their sales increased. Okay? He said when they put the exemptions on the breadbasket items, the sales increased. Now, you're saying in your overall argument that for that reason, don't get rid of the exemption. Great. But do you realize what else you're saying? Let's carry your logic over to the overall VAT rate. So if you leave your exemptions in place and you lower the VAT rate, you expect consumption to increase. See, the PLP don't know how to explain stuff, right? Which is their fault. Again, I'm here for you. That 30 grand a month, you know what I mean? We can make it work. If you lower the exemption, if you lower the VAT rate, it's going to increase consumer spending among those who use the most of their salary to consume. Well, Juan, you say, the rich people who don't spend the VAT, they will get to not pay the VAT, and then they're probably not going to spend that money anyway. They're probably going to save that money or park that money or invest that money. True. True. What you do then is that you target those people in the upper income brackets in terms of taxation. So on luxury items, you can look at reconfiguring the real property tax unit. You can look at different mechanisms. I would go with income tax, but y'all don't want to touch it. And you could become revenue neutral, or you could even get an increase in spending when you increase the minimum wage. You would put, what is this? The statistics are about 10,000 people are currently, or 10,000 households, I forget, I got to go get the report from the Department of Statistics, are living in minimum wage condition, living being paid minimum wage. So you're going to raise the spending of about 10,000 households if you boost the minimum wage, because they're going to spend all of it. This can work. Y'all just don't know how to explain nothing. I can't help y'all. Y'all need a communications specialist. We got a break? Let me do the call, and then we'll break. Right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Thank you very much, Mr. McCartney, for taking my call. You know, based on something you said a little while ago, and they were talking about Mr. Davis being able to afford to go off to be taken, get help with his daughter's establishment. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. Go ahead.
I hear an echo, so I know that happened when you got the phone. Now, they don't say nothing but all these MPs, that once they become MPs, they don't go to the PMH. All of them either pile up. One time, Mr. Ingram got sick, he run down to Life and Key Hospital.
Well, you get private insurance when you're
not. No, but what I'm saying is, how come they talk so good about the PMH, but when any one of them and their family gets sick, they could always go to Doctors Hospital West, Life and Key Hospital, or Doctors Hospital? Why they don't go to the PMH? Since the people at the PMH are so good and can take care of the rest of us so good, why are they scared to go to the PMH?
You make a good point.
All right.
Thank you, sir. Also, to the point, and we got to take a break here, to the point is, you know, because you put your children in private school, which, to my knowledge, every MP with school-age children has them in a private school, does that mean that you don't trust our public education system? That you're abandoning it? That you have no faith in it? Interesting question. We'll be back on the other side.
In life, there are always challenges. Today, we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost-effective insurance solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Hello, sir. Your credit card bill is due. Hello, sir. It's time for your monthly loan payment. Tired of creditors pounding at your door? Sign up for a debt consolidation loan from Fidelity Bank and consolidate your debt into one low monthly payment. What's more, you'll also earn interest on a built-in savings account. The pandemic has curbed many freedoms, but at Fidelity, our focus is to help regain your financial freedom. Visit a branch or speak to a Fidelity Bank at 356-7764. COVID safety measures in place at all branches. Fidelity Fidelity, we're good for you.
Everyone should experience a brand new car, but not everyone can afford one. Until now, Bahamas Bus and Truck has the answer. The stylish, spacious, feature-rich, yet affordable Mitsubishi Attrage. Priced at $21,900, including a three-year...
Talk shows anytime, anywhere, on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Say aloha to something delicious from Burger King NASA. Introducing the all-new Hawaiian Whopper and Hawaiian Crispy Chicken Sandwiches. Enjoy the classic flame-grilled Whopper or our crispy chicken breast topped with ham, pineapple, smoky barbecue sauce, cheese, and all the fixins. Grab it with both hands and savor the tropical flavor. Whether you choose chicken or flame-grilled beef, you're gonna love it. The Hawaiian Whopper and Hawaiian Chicken Sandwiches are all new and only at Burger King NASA, where taste is king.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and the generator's back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
Tired of disposable plates that fall apart and leave the food in your lap? Neptune Compostables can solve your problem. Put your food in our heavy-duty clamshells.
At Neptune, we supply heavy-duty takeout plates, coffee cups, sauce cups, soup bowls, straws, and plastic-free takeout bags. We offer free delivery to offices, takeaways, restaurants, bars, and households.
And we ship to the family islands.
Order now via WhatsApp at 816-2442. That's 816-2442. Or shop online at NeptuneCompostables.com.
Neptune, where your sense makes sense.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution. I'll get into your text message here in just a moment. One more word on, I'll have to get into another. I want to talk about Peter Turnquist and Dorian. I'm going to try to get to the airports thing. Weren't you Minister of Finance when the budget was put together? Whatever doesn't exist for Dorian, wouldn't that mean that that's because it wasn't provided for by you? He complained about Sweeney's Key, which is a legitimate complaint. And he made legitimate complaints about Dorian. But I'm just saying, wouldn't this have been your thing that you would have had to find the money for when they made up the last budget? He makes very legitimate complaints about the domes can't be reconstructed, about people sleeping in tents still on Sweeney's Key when they're supposed to have modular housing, domes, whatever. He made very legitimate complaints about the water on Sweeney's Key, about how they need to do better with the Dorian effort. It was all banging on the table until that point. Then it was everyone get up and say their piece. Legitimate points about the schools. When he started talking about the water, it was very funny, actually. Adrian Gibson gets up, he's chairman of the Water Stewards. He gets up and he says, hey, man, the reason we didn't have that for Sweeting's Key, because when I came to you to ask you for the money, you said, we ain't have it. But I went and I found out something anyway to go do something to have some sort of solution, hopefully for Sweeting's Key. So that was interesting. But he made legitimate remarks on Dorian, but I just found it weird since, like, you were there. Right? By the way, the PLP just might have pulled that out of wherever about the VAT decrease and the minimum wage and not thought about it. But I'm going to go with have enough people who could think clearly to they did think it through. They may just be saying it. I don't know. But I think they're solid ideas. It says, Juan, am I the only one who thinks it's weird that Peter Turnquist spoke to the Ministry of Finance? Isn't the PM the Minister of Finance? Why is someone who's been forced to resign under a grayish cloud speaking about transparency at finance? I think this is really, really weird. Yeah, that's right. And when Turnquist asked him, when Turnquist answered him, he said he wanted to do that for Sweeney's Key, but Cabinet wouldn't approve it for Sweeney's Key, which should tell you something about cabinet priorities and what was happening behind the scenes in terms of Peter Turnquest in cabinet. It says only two communities will have water in Cat Island. One, you're correct. We don't need potable water in Cat Island. We have adjusted to this reality. It says, good day, McCartney. You were right on point today. Desmond Bannister, this says, is a disappointment on so many fronts. One, he should be ashamed to say that an outrageously over-budgeted school in Ragged Island is the most complicated construction project in Bahamas government history. Is he channeling Trump? Two, he attacked Darnell Osborne from the safety of Parliament. Weak. Three, he's building all these sidewalks. We need his ilk. Criticize the former administration for the same scheme. The hypocrisy is strong with him. Says, hey, Juan, the school will cost that much because it's being built on flint rock, and they have to dig the foundation with pickaxes, I guess. I guess, man. It's the most complicated project, construction project, the Bahamas government has ever undertaken. The school on Ragged Island. It says, hey, Juan, that's one of the questions I have for my MP, Ellsworth Johnson. How much did those QCs cost us before they can ever get my support again? I want, like the Jamaican would say, you're not easy, man, on these politicians. It ain't easy. What did Peter Turnquest say? There's no crying, right? Don't cry. When y'all talk about me and my family and all this other stuff and say names about, I don't trip and I ain't no public servant. I ain't talking about your personal stuff. I'm talking about what you say in Parliament. All right? What you said on the floor of our House of Assembly. That's what I'm talking about. It says, we don't know is correct. It's speculative. It says, Juan, if you're running to become a PM in this country, running away to another country when you get sick is terrible optics in a pandemic, no matter what excuse one have. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's a choice you make that you have to be informed about. It's not bad optics. And it's lowness to attack him on it, I think. Juan, help us out here. The government didn't perform an elasticity test prior to raising the VAT by 60%. But somehow, the people have already come. It's already come to the conclusion within a few days that a 16% reduction in the same tax would have a detrimental effect on the economy. The Bahamas won't be the only country to do so. The Bahamas is not the only country to consider reducing VAT, particularly in the pandemic. Numerous countries have already done so: China, Germany, Peru, others. All right, they've already done so. To do what? To do what? You ask, Juan. To spur consumer demand in an economic downturn. Oh, I guess it's not a crazy idea. The Germans are doing it. And they built rockets and concentration camps. Bro, you can't tell me you're not supporting the PLP. It seems like you like to talk about the F&M just like your DeWitt. Love to get it. Minutes them. You PLPs can't hide. Minutes is the best PM we ever had. Minutes is not the best PM we ever had. I do not support the PLP, and I don't care how you feel about it. Hey, Juan, raising the minimum wage may not be a good thing, in my opinion. There's high unemployment at the moment, and I think we need people back to work instead of them needing 100% government assistance. So perhaps the minimum wage can be discontinued temporarily so people can get back to work and the government can reduce the assistance needed. This will allow people to acquire new skills, and when the economy gets better, they can apply for jobs that pay for the skills they've acquired. The market can then sort this out versus the government bureaucracy. Have there been any local studies done to confirm the effect on unemployment when the minimum wage was increased? And if so, where can said studies be found? The minimum wage did not impact unemployment. If you look at the timeline from when it was increased, barring any shocks, minimum wage was steadily going down. The unemployment rate was steadily going down, and we have had economic expansion since the minimum wage was implemented and since the minimum wage was increased. And I don't know if I trust the market to protect the wages of those below the poverty line. It says, Peter's attack is fair game, particularly if Brave started it. Outside of bringing family members into the fray, who's the judge on what level of personal attack should be leveled at a politician? Just decency. Just your human decency. Just that feeling inside you when you see the look on someone's face that signifies that perhaps you've done something to hurt them that was unwarranted or not proportional to what they did to you. Just human decency, your own mores and values. Yes? That's what guides that. That you have lines. And what I found so interesting, and we'll take a break right now, is that Peter Turnquest closed out his speech by asking everyone to raise the level of discourse and stop these petty attacks in politics. So, what is the level that governs Peter Turnquest's values that says we should not levy such personal attacks that could lead to violence in the political realm? Perhaps a good question for him. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this. Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We've been discussing the House of Assembly. Y'all are acting like I'm talking about these guys riding around on the road, what they're doing. I'm talking about what has been put on the public record, all right? If you can't handle what you put on the public record being analyzed, then I suggest you find another profession. If your supporters can't handle what you put on the public record being critically analyzed, then I suggest they grow up. Let me do a couple. I want to talk about the airport still. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
How would you want?
I'm good. How's it going?
I'm holding. Thank God for what it is, in spite of the bunch of immaturity that's happening in our country.
Yeah.
But I have a comment and a question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I think the government should, any government that goes in the House of Assembly, should put in our Ministry of Works a contractor that know of billing. Okay? Now, billing a school in what you call it, that place, the thing is, Flint Rock are good, but you must know what to do and how to do it. And being to the Ministry of Works, you got all the tools that you need to build any part of the Bahamas, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you don't have the tool, you have the prerogative to get the tool. So you're not supposed to go in there and crying because you're getting our money. My question to you is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that the opposition, see, we need a strong opposition, don't care who in power. You need a strong opposition in there. Why is it the opposition hadn't mentioned to the Bahamian public that Bannister were getting our money just like that, free?
What do you mean, for the lawyer, for his defense?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I don't know if the opposition's mentioned it, but that's been noted in public. Yeah.
But we should have, if I didn't hear you mention it, I wouldn't have known of it.
Well, that's what it is. So, and that's, if you can show me different, if he can produce some receipts where he paid, then I'll
and be I
happy
agree
to
with you.
It.
That's principle.
Yeah.
That's why the opposition should have, herald that to the public. Thank you for your time.
All righty. Got another call? Great. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Brother Vaughn, how you doing?
I'm good. How's it going?
Right, yeah. Hey, Brother Vaughn, you know, I agree with you with the Terry Grant yesterday. I had to turn that radio to a different station. It's really, as my pastor said, Brother Vaughn, we in trouble. We in trouble, man. I don't know what we're paying these people for, but yesterday it started off with Desmond Bannister and Philip Grave Davis going back and forth with PPL and our plan. Listen, the PLP, they are finished. Why you keep going back and forth? And yesterday, I mean, Peter turned crest with me, like he was accepting an award. I want to thank my wife. I want to thank my children. I want to thank you. I'm setting all kind of platitudes that I would be paying y'all for, man.
Well, he's no longer running.
If you want
I think
to tell somebody thank you, take out an ad on ZNet. And the House Assembly isn't the place for that, man.
I disagree. I think that he's leaving Parliament after this term and that it's entirely appropriate for him to explain what having served in Parliament has meant to him.
Yeah, but I mean, but I'm talking about these individual people and so on. It's because yes, you can, but not in the House of Assembly, and taking up the time which should have been used for the debating the matters. That's a budget debate. That's what it is, a budget debate. Keep the thing that the Speaker ought to keep the House in order. Only things pertaining to the budget should be debated. All these other things could be used for a different time. He isn't going it as if he's going tomorrow, you know. And getting on, listen, we got to do better. I don't know what the next complement of the House is going to look like in the whenever election is finished. But listen, if this is the best we could do, we're in trouble.
All right. I'm going to disagree. I think that Peter Ingres has every right as an elected member of Parliament to speak about his time in Parliament during the mid-year budget debate. They gave him a standing ovation at the end. One, if I was to build a house on someone else's land without the proper permit from the authorities because I don't have anywhere else to live, would that be a legal reason I should be able to stay there? Of course not. You're talking about the shantytown thing? No, they need to move the shantytown. That's, I don't know why that's a very complicated matter. It's complicated, but it shouldn't be this complicated. I think it's a good idea for the private sector to secure the vaccine for their employees. It will be a great burden lifted off the government. Yes, and then now it turns out that now the World Health Organization has approved the Johnson & Johnson vaccine for emergency use, and Pfizer, too. So we have options. I think we need to start looking at sourcing the Johnson & Johnson. I think the private sector definitely needs to get in on the act. Says, Juan, we have a right to question our civil servants' commitment to the civil service. If we're paying you to teach public school, your children should be in our schools or bye-bye. We have to stick to a commitment to ultimate excellence in government by all levels of payroll. Okay. I'm not sure how that's related. This says, hey, Juan, I know someone who did rock density testing in Ragged Island and heard it was a rigorous process may want to investigate more. Well, here's the thing. We can investigate more, but in government and planning, you have to make certain choices. So if it is the most complicated thing that you've ever done, ever, as a government, to construct the most complicated construction project in the history of the Bahamas government, you have to weigh the cost of that against the benefit to how many people. I do not believe, and I know people from Ragged Island, I love them. I don't believe you need an $11 million school. And I also don't believe that it's going to be the most complicated thing ever to build. And I also think if it is the most complicated process ever to build there, then build somewhere else. Do it some other way that doesn't cost $11 million, that isn't the most complicated process ever in government history. You make choices in government, right? You make priorities. So do they need an $11 million school in Ragged Island? I do not think so. Okay? That's just me. I don't know that they need an $11 million anything in Ragged Island. Love them. Right? But I don't know that spending our taxpayer dollars in that manner is the most effective thing to do. And that's just what it is. And you can look not to me, but to your former Minister of Finance, who made these same arguments. He said, I love him, I want him to get the stuff, but you spend money there, but you're not going to spend money here. One, I do not trust that new passport office in Managua. It's right next to Haiti with all this passport fraud that has been documented. This is a scheme for fraud in the making. Okay. This is, hi, did you hear all those things Peter said happened to his people? Wow, centipede bite them and nail juke them. Yep. Good day, Juan. Peter's one of the worst finance ministers, in my opinion, in the Bahamas history. He should thank God he's in the Bahamas. In Canada, UK, Australia, things would be different for him. Well, I'm not going to say that, you know. All right, let's talk airports. All right, so we have had the discussion yesterday about, and look, if you don't want politicians who are elected to serve and people who are in prominent public service positions to be critiqued, then you're not going to get the best result for your country. You can support whomever you like, but be real about it. Understand when you're being hypocritical. Understand when you're making bad arguments. And seek to have them do better. Better. All right, we had the conversation yesterday about D'Aguilar and his remarks in the House of Assembly. All right, and so he gave a lot of good information, too. He was shouting for most of it, but it was good information. So in February, D'Aguilar says we had 28,000 visitors apply for travel visas. In March, we had 45,000 visitors apply for travel visas. So far, since November, we've had 125,000 arrivals by air. All right? Because there ain't no cruise ship sailing. We have had, in the past, 150,000 visitor arrivals per month by ear, pre-COVID, all right? What we're seeking to do is increase that. What we're seeking to do is increase across the board how many people come into the Bahamas. One way to do that is to make travel into the Bahamas easier on a massive scale. So right now, you do have some airports that get some solid flights, right? And you have international airports. So Exuma has an international airport, Eleuthera, and Long Island, they want to put another airport at Devon's Key. All right? However, currently, because the airport at Devon's Key was destroyed from, I forget the hurricane, they hit Long Island, Joaquin. And we want to, and we need Grand Bahama International Airport. We'll talk about that too. So you want airports that can function to get massive transit in. LPIA, how it works now, if you're going to come on one of the smaller flights, you can come from the States, you can fly into Exuma, et cetera. But we want to be able to accommodate jets, right? And we want to be able to accommodate many people, and we don't want to do it the way we do it now. So you go to Exuma's airport, and you fly in, and they take your bags out, and then they're kind of, last I've been to Exuma anyway, maybe y'all had some massive upscale since I've been there. And that was probably like 5 years ago, maybe. So you fly out, and they take your luggage off, you know, by hand, and then your luggage sits over there, and you go claim your luggage. You look around. You're lucky the rental car is open. There's nothing going on at night. And it just really doesn't look really good. All right? They want to put a big airport in Exuma, a large airport in Eleuthera, and a large airport, pretty large, in Long Island. Now, Long Island Airport looks maybe, and I'd like to understand the reasoning that undergirds it. I'm going to hopefully talk to Algernon Cargill one day. and understand why that airport looks in the renderings as large as it does, like what they're expecting for Long Island. Eleuthera, I get. Exuma, I get, even though I think those airports are pretty expensive, but it's not cheap to build an airport. I can understand that. All right? Now, when we build an airport, what normally happens is we will come up with that money, all right? Usually it's through borrowing. And we spend millions of dollars building the airport. Then we have to maintain the airport, service the airport, keep the runway solid, all right? All the intricate things that go into it, we have to pay for. The government of the Bahamas has to pay for, particularly in the Family Islands. Now, what happened with Lyndon Pindling International Airport? I believe it was called NASA International Airport before that, back in the day. What happened with that airport is that, and this is to the Christie administration's credit, they sourced, it was called Yaviris in the beginning, I believe. They sourced a Canadian company to manage the airport and to raise funding in working with the airport authority to build the airport. So, LPIA was built with about, I want to say, $440 million raised in bonds. All right? So LPIA itself has a bond facility that you could go buy bonds in LPIA. And so how do you service those bonds? So you put the bonds on the market, get the money, build the airport. You have your management company run the airport, and your management company is not paid by the government of the Bahamas. The airport is not paid for and maintained by the government of the Bahamas. The airport is maintained and management run through passenger facility fees. So they charge you a fee to land at the airport, and there are different types of fees. And that runs the airport. So it's not coming out of your budget. So for instance, if we look at our national flag carrier, right? Normally, our subvention for Bahamas Air would be about $20 million. Now, what you do with Bahamas Air is a different conversation, right? But that's where it's at. That's where it's normally at, $20 million. So far, for this year, we've spent $49 million for Bahamas Air. Normally, we would only be paying for the airport authority and Nassau Flight Services, right? Nassau Airport Development Company, as I said, takes care of itself. We don't pay for that. We normally pay about $5 million for the airport authority and $1.5 million for Nassau Flight Services, and sometimes not even that much. This year, we've spent $49 million so far this year on Bahamas Air, $8 million on the Airport Authority, and $4.5 million for Nassau Flight Services. So it's not sustainable. That's $75 million we spent on the airport and different things to do with aviation, just dealing with Bahamas Air and the airport on New Providence. All right? So it's really not sustainable, or actually we're going to end up spending about $75 million. We spent $61.5 million so far. It's not a sustainable model to keep supporting Bahamas Air through another year or two of an environment not like this, all right? It'll collapse in this environment, but even in an environment that's 50%, 60% of where we were, It's just not a sustainable proposition. And that's just cold, hard reality, right? Like, I don't believe Ragged Island needs an $11 million school. I don't believe we need to continue sinking this level of subvention into Bahamas' ear. You'd have to rationalize that for me. Why? Is it to keep people employed? Is that the sole reason we're doing it? Then at the end of the day, you're going to have to make some hard choices because the money's just not there to keep doing it. Nassau Flight Services, I also think that that should be sold. We should divest ourselves completely in that vein. And I don't got a problem spending money for the airport authority. All right? That's LPIA. Now, the Family Islands, what they want to do is something similar to what was done with LPIA. So Yaveris came in. They signed a deal with Christie then. Ingram came in, called the people. They formed Nassau Airport Development Company. Ingram came in, called the people a useless interloper. All right? And at the same time, he's calling them a useless interloper. He's going, but I'm going to let him do it. Right? And in his wisdom, and, you know, his gut feeling was it was a useless interloper. Maybe he's looking into the lens of like, well, Christie done did it, so I really with it. But in his wisdom, he let it go through. And it was one of the most smartest things that he let ride, right? Remember stop, cancel, review? It was one of the smartest things he let ride after Christie those got kicked out of office last lap. It says, Bahamas Air's losses since 1970 is probably approaching $1 billion. Bahamas Air, I did a story in about in 2010 or so where we documented Bahamas Air's losses, and it was up to that point about $500 million over its existence. Has it reached $1 billion now? I wouldn't be able to tell you. Maybe DeAguilar could shed some light on that. So they formed Nassau Airport Development Company. Ingram let it ride. It was all foreigners in the top management position. They swore to us, Christie did, right, and Yaveris, that they would have Bahamian management in a number of years. And true to their word, they do now have Bahamian management. So Vernie Twocking runs Nassau Airport Development Company, right? The former director general of tourism. And she didn't go there as the head to run it. She went there in a management position and eventually became the head of it, right? And we have Bahamians in many top management positions there. It's a great thing. Nassau Airport Development Company keeps LPIA looking spiffy, right? The bond rating has gone down as things have gotten dicier due to the pandemic, et cetera, but you can still make money off the bond. They also want to put out a bond. Last I heard, this may be delayed, to build a hotel at the airport. All right? So what we want to do is we want to partner with entities that can raise money to build these airports. And I think it's a really good idea. So, we now have in the Family Islands four major projects. We have the airport in Exuma we're going to build, brand new, huge airport. As I said, the airport in Long Island we're going to build, and the airport in Eleuthera, and we're going to expand what's happening in Marsh Harbor. Marsh Harbor has a pretty nice airport, but it does need some repairs, and it also needs to expand. Now, one could make the argument that until things get back to normal on Marsh Harbor, you may hold off on the airport project, but at the same time, one could make the argument that while we're restoring Abaco anyway, we might as well do the airport so that by the time all that's done, the airport will be fresh and new. Now, these four projects, according to DeAguilar, are going to cost about $175 million. All right? $32 million from the IDB, and you would note that, or I should note that the airport in Exuma, the funding was secured under the last administration, and they had plans to do it. just didn't do it, like so many things under the last administration. So $32 million from the IDB and $143 million is going to come from a wide array of local investors through a leading financial institution, I think Royal Finance, which is solid. I think that, I got to double check the name, which is solid, all right? They've done it before. We don't have to pay that $143 million back, okay? We're going to be paying on the $32 million, and the PPPs that run the airports are going to put facility charges down that are going to service this $143 million debt. So we're going to get four projects done with the taxpayer only footing a fraction of the cost, okay? About 20% of the cost. This is a good thing. Now, I would note that you did have Chester Cooper, the MP for Exuma, saying that, well, it's going to delay it and everything like that. Maybe, maybe. But at the end of the day, I'd rather it be done this way than the government foot the entire bill. And so if it must be delayed without us having to pay for all of it, then let it get delayed. All right? Not forever, but a year or two ain't going to kill us. All right? What's going to happen is they're going to issue bonds locally like they did with the port. Now, I don't know the structure of it. I don't know all them details. Now, the port is being financed in two tranches, right? First, the debt for the construction, and then the IPO. They claim regular Bahamians like you and I will be able to participate in the IPO, get some money that's going to accumulate over time, some shares that are going to be worth some good money over time. You can give it to your children, whatever like this, right? I wasn't able to get in on the port thing, right? That's for the big dogs, right? So that's what Anton keeps complaining about. Well, the average Bahamian wasn't able to buy that. Average Bahamian supposedly should be able to benefit from the next tranche. I think the threshold was $50,000. I just ain't had it like that, you know what I mean? To get in on the 50 grand, not a loose 50 grand to go set there, you know? This $143 million, it's anticipated that we'll be able to participate in it as smaller investors. That's what I've heard on the street, right? Streets is talking about the airport. It's an airport bond, found out an airport bond. We'll be able to participate it as lower level investors and get us and be able to make us some money, right? Let's go through these projects. In Exuma, the airport's gonna cost $65 million. I don't know that Exuma needs a $65 million airport either, but okay. $53 million of that $65 million is going to come from the local facility. We're going to put in $12 million from the IDB. So we'll be on the hook for $12 million for the IDB. The public-private partnership, they got to go deal with the $53 million. All right? We already have, according to D'Aguilar, a Bahamian construction firm identified, and we're finalizing a contract with that firm. All right, that's what we want, Bahamians to build it. If the Bahamians are the best at building it, let's let the Bahamians build it. We don't have an airport management company yet. The airport management company needs to oversee the construction of the airport and the airport management company is going to run the airport. So we ain't got to get involved. All right, y'all paid the $53 million back. We gave you the $12 million. You go deal with the airport. You want to run the airport properly? You want to make money? You're going to run the airport properly. Long Island Airport at Dedman's Key. Nah, I want these Long Island people to come for me, right? Y'all need two airports? I mean, you can't just fix up the one you got. I mean, I know Long Island Long, right? But I don't know that y'all need two airport. All right? Right, and this is true. This is someone sending me a message. This says, Juan, joke for you speaking about shares. An institution just paid dividends to common stock shareholders. The thing is, if you're not a preferred shareholder, you can only be holding these stocks for your children's children. Yeah, it'll grow over time. It's an investment over time. So you may, if you get the common shares, you may get $12.50, a dollar dividend or whatever in a good time. $12, right? And the preferred shareholders, they're going to get the big money because they put in the bigger investment. But it's going to be an investment over time. All right? Now, you might I don't know how these going to be structured. This says Long Island need two airport. They're too far apart. All right. Long Island need two airport. I go fight you. Someone say Luther has three. I know. So Long Island need two airport. Fine. All right? The Long Island International Airport at Dedman's Key is expected to cost about $18 million. Now, the airport I see y'all design don't look like no $18 million. If the school on Ragged Island that I see in the red costs $11 million, then that airport I see in the renderings of ain't gonna cost $18 million. But if you say so, if all you're giving them is $18 million, fair enough. All of the money for Dedman's Key, all right, International Airport, is going to be provided by the local lending institution. So we're not spending that money. We just hooking them up, right? It's our land and all this. The project's going out to tender in about 2 weeks. And it's going to be an 18,000 square foot terminal. That, again, maybe the drawing make it look bigger than it is. But if that's drawn to scale with the cars I saw, it's bigger than 18,000 square feet. And a 6,500 foot runway. All right? That's good. If Long Island need two airport, then great. Let's do it. North Eleuthera Airport. I'm from Eleuthera. We need two airport. We need three airport. The North Eleuthera Airport is expected to cost $65 million. I don't know that we need a $65 million airport. And we also need a new runway. $47 million is going to come from the local institution. We're going to put in our $18 million from the IDB. All right, so notice we had $32 million from the IDB. We're sinking $12 million in to Exuma, and we're sinking $18 million in to Eleuthera. All right, which leaves us about $2 million to play with. You might have overages. They might need a little something extra from you. It's fine. Or you could use it for some other project, airport project, right? That's going to take some time because we're still planning it. We have to acquire the land, and it'll probably go out to tender in about 6 months. All right, y'all want to talk? All right, that's fair enough. Y'all want to talk? I've been talking. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right, Kirk Parker with you.
Hey,
been a while.
Yes, sir.
When he was able to catch you on live in the car doing something, I needed to talk. So I must commend you for the information coming forward for the airports, because I know I'd be busy at work and stuff, but the information you're putting forward, I don't normally hear from nowhere else.
Right,
I don't know why it's so, but I mean, I guess you have an option to probably Google and go get the information.
Yeah, well, he said it in Parliament. That's where I got it from, Parliament. Yeah,
but yeah, many of us don't have the time to Google. Many of us don't have the time to go research, but right, hearing it on from persons like yourselves who could really give the information in detail is really good, and I'm thankful for that.
I appreciate it.
One side note, when you talked about the cost of Long Island in particular, I think one of the things I learned about special construction is that a lot of money seems to go into the engineering part of that.
Mm.
And so probably that's where you may have any concerns about the cost of it.
Mm.
So, you know, from when you see it, it might not look like it costs all that money, but I learned from construction buddy, the engineering part of it, and those equipment that needs to go to, you know, the framing, that's where a lot of the money goes in for those type of things.
You make, you know what? You make a good point. I don't. I couldn't speak specifically to airports, but I know that we have had projects, construction projects, just to plan the project at the Guardian. We haven't gone forward with them. You have to get the architects, you have to get the engineers, you have to get a structural engineer, you have to get electrical engineer. You understand? Yes. And it costs a lot of money just for the plan.
Yes, and not only that, you know, it's also the framing. I understand that the framing of whatever it is you're putting down is also costly because it takes consideration the environment in which you're building, the condition of the ground, and all of these different things.
Mm-hmm.
I understand a lot of the money goes into that.
Like the Flint Rock on Ragged Island.
Yeah. But what I'm calling about specifically is I've always been one of those persons who have always, you know, concerned about looking at something in its totality. You mentioned about the airport in Exuma in particular.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that always for years I've been saying is, why don't we make Exuma a hub in the southern part of the country?
That's a great idea.
And so that from that hub, I talk about where you can get all the international flights.
Right.
You can get all the local flights.
Yes.
And from that hub, you can smaller airlines that go to the other side of Eastern Island for a shorter route.
Correct.
And those type of things.
Yes.
And look at the spin-off. And when I say looking at, you know, totality, look at the spin-off. You can create a lot more industries. You can create a lot more job careers and so forth. When you do that, because you get more people who can learn to fly, even more people who can learn to boat.
Absolutely.
Then you get all these other various spin-offs for tourism, for local stores, and all these things that happen just from that one concept of looking at that airport in particular in its totality.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
And you did put emphasis on it's a pretty good-sized airport. Mind you, I haven't seen the drawings, I haven't seen the details of it. But from, I can remember for at least 15 years for me personally, I made this recommendation. Why don't we make Exuma a hub for the southern part of the country, whereas we could a whole lot of things come off just from that.
You could even make it cheaper for people. If you do that too, you could even make it easier for people to access like other parts of the Caribbean. You could do some arrangements with some other countries. You know what I mean? Fly from America to Exuma and then let them fly to other countries like that.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. That's when I think about it being a hub, because I understand one of the reasons for me making that recommendation, because I understand the runway in Exuma is pretty long.
Yeah.
That's what I learned.
Mm-hmm.
And so it could facilitate those larger aircraft. And it's because on that time is why I made the suggestion some 15 years ago. We should make Exuma a hub, an international hub.
Yes.
Okay. Whereas, you know, we could have American and JetBlue and United and all the rest of them coming in there.
Right. That's what you want, them to fly directly into Exuma.
Yeah.
That way you could, so who won't come to Nassau? Come to Nassau. Who won't go there? Go there. XYZ. All right.
I can see from there, even they won't go to the other islands, southern islands, man, the smaller planes, that's where all those smaller companies, they could benefit a lot more from it.
Yeah, you could put a nice flight school there, you could teach them to fly to
Puddle Jump Island. When I talk about looking at something as totality, that's why I look way beyond what people can see right 5 feet in front of them.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for calling, my brother. I got to take a break here. We'll be back. We'll take some more of your calls to your text. Don't tell me I talk too much on my show, but it's all good. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and we'll go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows it's you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
At Bahamas Bus and Truck Company Limited, we provide vehicles known for quality and durability. From the iconic Jeep Wrangler to the award-winning Grand Cherokee, we've got your everyday driver covered. For larger tasks, our Ram 1500, Mitsubishi Fuso Canter Trucks, CMC Verica Vans, and Fuso Rosa Jitneys do way more than just deliver. We even carry a wide variety of pre-owned vehicles. To keep you going, our parts, service department, and body shop can accommodate our brands and others. Call us today at 322-1722 or email info@bahamasbus.com.
Think safety first. Get to know LA Impact Windows and Doors. For the lowest and affordable quality hurricane impact windows and doors, garage doors, showers, shutters, casement and sliding windows and doors for residential and commercial business, installation, glass and roll-up shutter repairs, special discounts for contractors and senior citizens, easy layaway plans too. Feel safe with LA Impact Windows and Doors, located in the Southland Plaza, East Street South, just three doors north of the Teachers Credit Union offices. LA Impact Windows and Doors, impacting your view. Phone 322-3667.
Looking for plenty food and you're on a budget?
Well, I'm great.
Stop into Wendy's and grab our latest bundle.
Introducing the Biggie Bag.
With the new Biggie Bag, you get a Dave Singles,
Junior Fries,
regular drink, and four-piece nuggets for only $7.25, fat inclusive. Add an apple pie for just $1 more. Now that's a deal. It's the best on these streets. Available at all locations. Restrictions apply. Wendy's, different inside and out.
Tired of disposable plates that fall apart and leave the food in your lap? Neptune Compostables can solve your problem. Touch your food in our heavy-duty clamshells.
At Neptune, we supply heavy-duty take-out plates, coffee cups, sauce cups, soup bowls, straws, and plastic-free take-out bags. We offer free delivery to offices, takeaways, restaurants, bars, and households.
And we ship to the Family Islands.
Order now via WhatsApp at 816-2442. That's 816-2442. Or shop online at NeptuneCompostables.com.
Neptune, where your sense makes sense.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. That's fine. I got a lot more information about the airports, and we have yet to talk about Grand Bahama International Airport, which Diaglo talked about, and the Grand Lucayan, which he talked about, but tell us what kind of money we're talking. But we'll talk about that next week since you guys want to weigh in. Just a couple of text messages before we get to the phone call. This says, no island can justify more than one airport. If they could, Winton would be screaming for Winton International Airport. This says, good day, passport office. Where, who doing that, and why? Tell me, is that true about the passport office in Inagua? Just a satellite office, yeah. This says, boy, Juan, you're critical on minutes, those for everything. I am. I'm critical of everything. I look at everything you tell me and critique it. Yes, everything ain't gonna be a bad thing, but I can critique everything. It says, you really believe Bannister or Ministos dictated that $11 million to be spent? The engineers put forward the plans to ensure that this structure surpassed our building codes to be hurricane-worthy. He put forward a plan to ensure the structure to surpass our building codes to be hurricane-worthy there. Well, then that structure should not go there. That's what I'm saying to you. Juan, did you listen to Michael Alkeyes talking to Shivago Lang yesterday saying PLP confusing plan? On one end, they're saying they provide financial relief. On the other end, aggressively go after revenue collection. Don't they realize the status of the economy? Confusing, double-tongue PLP. I think, PLP needed to defend his own plan. Y'all do that. You got to explain to me how you're going to pay for some of that stuff in the plan. You're going to explain to me a lot of things about that plan. I ain't here to defend no PLP plan. I looked at it. Some things I like, some things I don't. That's on them to do to defend their plan. McCartney, they're going to force the vaccine through lockdowns. You watch and see. Possibly. Good day, Mr. Miller. You need to offer yourself to run for office. You use your talk show to spew a lot of stuff like you know what's best. Be the change, not just a critic. I'm good where I am. Thanks. Everyone has a role in society. Everyone ain't got to be in the house to be effective and affect change in this Bahamas. This says, the company was Vancouver Airport Authority. They renamed it Vantage Airport Service. That was one of the Christie government's best ideas. Ingram saw the wisdom in it and kept it, thinking what LPIA would be without it. It was very, very good of Christie to do that, and Ingram to do it was one of their best ideas. You're correct. I agree. Now, you sure it wasn't YVRS? YVRES? Before it was Vancouver? Or whatever? Man, one, why don't small investors, say folks who can invest minimum $1,000, be allowed to participate in these capital projects? They do need that. We do need that. It says, Juan, I'm at the point now where I think we're a failed state. We can't do anything right. This pandemic was a nail in the coffin. No, I wouldn't say we're a failed state. We have some deep issues. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Are you there? Nope, you're not with me anymore? All right, good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Mr. McCartney, how are you doing, sir?
Hey, I'm good, buddy. How's it going?
Everything right. You know, I listen to all talk shows, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying trying to impress you, but you real talk, you know, you was the best at breaking down things and letting people understand, you know, because how you explain what they did with the airport, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most famous didn't know it, you know, right?
I'll take the compliment, my brother. Thank you.
And then, guess what? The PLP need to do more stuff like this. Let people know what they did. Right or wrong?
Well, yeah, they should. Yeah.
But no, Mr. McCartney, next week. I mean, you need to do a show on this because I think only you have the nerve to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you heard, first of all, the vaccine that we got from India, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was never part of the equation. Now, all of a sudden, the same vaccine, over 1 million doses, get banned in Europe. So you think, it's right now for the Bahamas government to go ahead, I mean, without doing a test to make sure them things are contaminated? You think it's fair?
Well, my brother, they're going to have to really communicate very clearly to the public all the risks and what's going on in other parts of the world that they want people to take it. You know,
Last thing before I go, I heard that the Guardian staff have to take it first. And I hear you first tonight. You take it?
No, I'm not taking it.
All right, so tell them they see.
All right, yeah. I'm going to take some Johnson & Johnson. Well, y'all bring that to me, all right? It's just a matter of which one you want. That's all it is. If you don't want none, don't take none. If you want a particular one, take a particular one. All right? Nah. You go in the store, right? And I tell you, which one you want, my brother? You want a tequila? You want Bacardi? Would you? They all could do the same thing. It's just, how are you feeling you want to get there? It says, Exuma needs a world-class facility because we attract a vast amount of visitors. The current facility is a dump for the numerous U.S. flights we currently facilitate. Airlines such as JetBlue want to come here, but the airport is not up to par. And if you look at, only wealthy people, but if you see the number of wealthy people who in Exuma, you damn there, but come on, you know? Well, homes in Exuma. We just need to ensure the 20% of the value of the land buys the government an equity stake in the project. It can't just be subsumed by the new entity. Well, we should still own the land now. It ain't a land. You just running the airport, Papa. I don't want you to own the land. You know, or you'll have to explain the financials of that to me, that you own the land. That should be our land. For national security purposes as well. Hey, Juan, airport hub in Exuma makes no sense. Smaller plane flights end up costing more than the jet flights. Every island needs direct flights from abroad. I don't know if I agree with that. No. I don't know. That don't sound to me like the best use of that. Say, good afternoon. So when the architect submitted a $10 million plan for the straw market, why was everyone up in arms? The straw market? I mean, the straw market is actually going to make people money. I'm not sure what the point is. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome.
Yeah, man, this is the third time I get cut off, man.
I'm so sorry, but you're on now. Go ahead.
Hey, this is Juan McCartney.
Yes, sir, you're on air.
Yeah, let me give you the history. If you were saying you were still in Long Island, needed two airports, right? But okay, that you ever been to Georgetown Airport before they closed it down?
In where?
Exuma? And Exuma, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, Long Island, Dembski Airport is about the same size of that.
Mm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And those airports, I think, was built in the 40s or 50s. So
yes.
you could do the math with that, mm-hmm. the number of years, right? Okay, when I had to be on Exuma in the Strike Force, right? Police Force, Strike Force, right? That's like around in up to 88, 89.
Oh, okay.
Then they was talking about building Morristown Airport
mm.
because Georgetown have a little hut where the people go and check in, just like Long Island, right?
Right.
So that airport and Exuma shouldn't be no more but 30 years old. So if anybody do need a new airport, it should be Exuma because they should have built a proper terminal 30 years ago.
Yeah, that
airport was built in Exuma and Morristown. Then it moved from Georgetown Airport. It was built, I think, between 1989 and 1991.
Mm-hmm.
Either one of those years. I think it started probably in 89 and finished probably in 1990, in late 89 started.
Boy, so, it looks terrible and it's not comfortable for passengers.
Yeah, but I'm saying 30 years ago, they should have built a proper terminal then. You see, and like I was saying, Dembski Airport should be built before Exuma. Because Exuma just got an airport in the last 30 years.
Right. Well,
they only spent $20 million. And I understand, I think in the Nordi Lucho, one of those other airports, they spent $65 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're saying the seating capacity for 100 people. So they might as well, in Long Island, they might as well do an airport where could seat for 300 or 400 people one time because they want to bring in jets, I understand.
Yeah.
They're doing a jet airport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way to do it, man, because next now, when they outgrow that, well, what I'm saying, Bahamas, they have. It's have more than, Bahamas Air have more than 100 passengers.
Yep.
And Bahamas Air go to Long Island, so if they're saying only 100 people could seat in the terminal, that they start not long in Long Island Airport.
Okay, I appreciate you calling. Now, you know, the people ain't gonna be in the terminal the entire day, so you can get numerous flights in. It says, Juan, when the PLP start praising you, time to be scared. Next thing, Anton will have a big picture of you with 1,000 candles lit. Be careful, Juan, to get swayed. Y'all has amused me with this talk, but the PLP, you know, last PLP convention I went to, people didn't talk to me. They didn't want me there. It wasn't into me. I was hammering them left, right, and center for the nonsense that was going on. And when I see nonsense, I'm going to hammer it, man. And y'all calling me PLP or FNM, they ain't going to change nothing. I'm going to just keep it real, straight through. I'm going to keep it 100. All right? So you guys have a great weekend out there. Take care of yourselves. And please, please, be good to one another and try to make sure you stay safe. Have a great day, Bahamas.